I didn't need HR to protect me. I just needed them to be neutral. That's the lie I kept repeating, the one that let me sleep at night while my inbox filled up with calendar invites that made my stomach feel hollow. I work in healthcare, corporate healthcare, policies, compliance modules, laminated posters about psychological safety, taped crookedly near the elevators. We worship process here. We kneel to documentation. We trust forms more than people, because people can lie. But forms feel clean. When it started, I told myself it wasn't personal. It was procedural. That was comforting. That was adult. That was how grown women survived in Atlanta boardrooms, where everyone smiled too much and talked about culture like it was a line item. I followed the steps. I reported up, not out. I CC'd instead of confronting. I saved emails instead of raising my voice. I believed, really fucking believed, that if I did everything correctly, the system would have no choice but to work. What I didn't understand was that procedure doesn't exist to protect people like me. It exists to protect the institution from liability. And HR? HR doesn't pick sides. They define reality. By the time I realized that, my name had already been attached to phrases like communication concerns, professional tone, and pattern of resistance. All words that sound harmless. All words that quietly ruin you. The first meeting was called an intake, which already told me everything I needed to know, if I'd been less naive. Intake sounds neutral, medical, like something that happens before real care begins. I walked into the HR suite on the fourth floor of the administrative building, the one with frosted glass walls and framed mission statements, feeling tense but steady. I had notes, dates, emails printed and highlighted. I even wore my navy blazer, the one that made me look serious without looking aggressive. In Atlanta healthcare, that line matters. Black women don't get a lot of margin there. You learn to manage your face early. The HR manager was a white woman in her early 40s named Karen. Not metaphorically, literally. She had a master's in organizational leadership and a voice that never rose above conversational volume. There was a black man in the room too. Senior HR business partner. Mid-50s. Expensive watch. Calm eyes. That mattered. I noticed it immediately. Representation theater. It made the room feel balanced, safe. They thanked me for coming forward. They told me they took concerns seriously. They told me retaliation was against policy. Then Karen asked me to walk them through my perception of the events. Perception. That word landed wrong, but I ignored it. I explained how my supervisor, Dr. Collins, white male, late 40s, revenue-focused clinical director, had begun undermining me after I pushed back on a staffing shortcut that violated internal compliance standards. I explained the comments in meetings, the reassigned responsibilities, the sudden tone shift in emails. I explained the after-hours texts framed as feedback that felt more like pressure. They nodded. They typed. They didn't interrupt. When I finished, Karen said, "Thank you for sharing that context," and then asked me whether I had considered how my communication style might have been interpreted as confrontational. That's when I felt the temperature change. Not hot, not angry. Cold, clinical, like a scalpel. She wasn't accusing me. She was categorizing me. I said I'd been professional. I said I'd followed policy. I said I'd escalated concerns through proper channels. The black HR partner nodded slowly and asked whether I had received any prior feedback about tone. That word again. Tone is a magic word in corporate healthcare. It's how you discipline without disciplining. It's how you turn disagreement into misconduct. I said no, not formally. Karen smiled and said that informal feedback still counted as part of an employee's documented experience. Documented, another clean word. They asked me whether I had copies of the emails. I handed them over. Karen said they would review everything and circle back. I asked what the next steps were. She said they would conduct a neutral assessment. Neutral. That word felt like oxygen. I left that meeting lighter than I should have. I told myself I'd done it right. I told myself the system worked slow, but it worked. I told myself Dr. Collins couldn't outrun policy forever. What I didn't know was that while I was being intaken, he was being consulted. The first email came 3 days later. It wasn't accusatory. That's what made it dangerous. Karen thanked me again for my transparency and informed me that as part of the review process, HR would also be evaluating team dynamics and communication effectiveness. She attached a document titled Performance Alignment Framework and asked me to review it ahead of our next meeting. The framework was generic. Corporate bullshit. Bullet points about collaboration, responsiveness, adaptability. Nothing actionable. Nothing criminal. That's the genius of it. At the next meeting, the tone had shifted again, subtly, professionally, fucking surgically. Karen referenced multiple perspectives. She said HR had spoken with Dr. Collins and several stakeholders. She didn't name them. She didn't have to. She said that while my concerns were noted, there was also documentation indicating I had exhibited rigidity and resistance to leadership direction. I asked, what documentation? She pulled up notes. Notes I had never seen. Summaries of conversations I was never invited to. Interpretations of meetings I remembered differently. It felt like watching someone else narrate my life in real time. I said, those characterizations were inaccurate. Karen nodded and said, that's helpful to understand, and typed something I couldn't see. The black HR partner finally spoke. He said sometimes high-performing employees struggle when organizational priorities evolve. He said healthcare was under pressure. He said adaptability mattered. Pressure. Adaptability. Evolution. All words that let power pretend it's natural. They told me HR wasn't there to determine right or wrong. They were there to mitigate risk. That sentence landed like a brick. Risk to whom? I asked whether retaliation was being investigated. Karen said they hadn't found sufficient evidence to classify the behavior as retaliatory under policy definitions. Definitions. Another trapdoor word. Then she slid a document across the table. It was a professional development plan. Not a warning. Not discipline. Support. Support that required me to attend communication coaching. Limit direct escalations. And route all concerns through Dr. Collins for the next 90 days. I stared at it, my mouth dry. Route concerns through the man I'd reported. I said that didn't feel safe. Karen's voice stayed soft. She said safety was subjective, but policy was objective. She said this plan was designed to restore trust. Restore whose trust? When I hesitated, she reminded me that refusal to engage in a development plan could be documented as non-compliance. There it was. The quiet threat. The velvet rope tightening. I signed it. I told myself it was temporary. I told myself compliance was strategic. I told myself this was how you survived systems, by bending without breaking. What I didn't realize was that bending is the break. 90 days is a long time when every email feels like evidence. I monitored my tone like a fucking parolee. I reread messages 5 times before sending them. I swallowed comments in meetings that made my teeth hurt. Dr. Collins grew more confident by the week. He CC'd HR on everything. He praised my improvement in writing while undercutting me verbally in private. I documented everything. Dates, times, language. I sent weekly check-ins to Karen per the plan. She responded with polite acknowledgements and nothing else. When the 90 days ended, I asked for a closure meeting. Karen scheduled it within the hour. That should have warned me. She thanked me for my participation. She said the development plan had been successful in addressing initial concerns. She said no further action was needed. I asked about my original complaint. Karen paused just long enough to feel deliberate and said that based on the totality of information, HR had determined the issues stemmed from misaligned expectations rather than misconduct. Misaligned expectations. Dr. Collins had expectations. I failed to align. She reminded me that HR investigations are confidential and outcomes are not subject to appeal. She reminded me that retaliation claims are complex and require clear ongoing patterns. She reminded me kindly that continuing to raise resolved concerns could reflect negatively on my professional judgment. That's when I understood. HR hadn't failed me. They'd done exactly what they were designed to do. A month later, my role was eliminated in a departmental restructure. Generous severance. Neutral language. No wrongdoing. No admission. Just paperwork. I signed again. I tell people now that I left for personal reasons. That I needed a change. That corporate healthcare wasn't aligned with my values. All of that is cleaner than the truth. The truth is, I trusted process over power. I thought neutrality existed. I thought documentation protected the documented. HR wasn't neutral. They just needed me to believe they were, long enough to erase me cleanly. And the worst part, every form was signed.